rest of the story. There was a noise. There was something stirring in the hallway outside the door. Raleigh stopped to listen, his heart pounding. His best friend had been taken away seemingly hours ago. Perhaps now he was being returned. Indeed, he was being returned. The door opened, and Raleigh's friend was hurled glassy-eyed into the room, glassy-eyed and bloody, and the door slammed hard. And now once again in the tiny barren quarters, the two were alone. "What did they do to you?" said Raleigh, his voice hoarse with apprehension. The description came in choked whispers at first. It had been a terrible beating, a flogging prolonged by interminable pauses during which the torturer had calmly refilled and relighted his pipe. "This was no mere duty for that kind of man," the friend said. "You can tell he loves it." After it was over, a basin and a sponge were thrust into the trembling hands of Raleigh's friend. He was ordered to clean up his own blood from the floor. "But at least," he said, "I'm still alive." The catch was that he had probably lived to endure the same thing all over again another day, for this is the rest of the story. The people and circumstances you've just heard described were not those of a prison nor of a concentration camp, but rather of an English school for boys a brief 60 years ago. Its name was Repton, among the most prestigious of all schools in Great Britain, but for a great many, Repton had another name, Hell. Raleigh was 13 when he first enrolled. He had heard so many good things about the school. Unfortunately, he had not consulted anyone who had actually gone there. Overlooking the Trent Valley, 7 miles north of Derby, Repton gave a benign, almost charming appearance with its Victorian bay windows and corner turrets and enclosed garden. And yet inside the school's priory house, where Raleigh was to spend 4 and a half dismal, terrifying years, the older boys were given free rein to abuse the younger ones however and whenever they wished. And still, as Raleigh was soon to observe, the real sadists at Repton were the school's headmasters, each one more brutal than the one he had succeeded. The nightmare of continual torture and degradation was interrupted only once, and that was when Cadbury's, the confectioner, used the boys of Repton for their market research and actually allowed them to taste test some new types of chocolate candy. Each boy was given an unmarked box of chocolates and a checklist on which to rate the different kinds therein. And that was Raleigh's one and only sweet memory of Repton. There was one ironic reflection that the cruel headmaster, who presided over most of Raleigh's experience there, Geoffrey Francis Fisher, went on to become the 99th Archbishop of Canterbury, the pious clergyman who crowned Elizabeth II, the Queen of England. And Raleigh? Well, Raleigh survived his ordeal at the Repton School, determined to make less dismal the plight of childhood for others by creating other worlds into which children could escape. Only now and henceforth, when you remember Raleigh Dahl, D-A-H-L, one of the great children's authors of all time, you will particularly appreciate his most famous story, because it revives that solitary sweet chapter in his own youth, the story of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Now that you know the rest of the story.